They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew.
Radio Fairfax, thank you for joining us today. Joining us today, we have Lisa Capsicafos. Did I screw it up, Lisa?
Not at all.
Would you say it?
My last name is pronounced Capsicafos.
Capsicafos.
Yes.
And Lisa has sort of an incredible story. And it's something that we've been hearing a lot of lately, at least I have been hearing a whole lot about lately, and that is our government doing what our government is supposed to be doing, nothing at all. Lisa, tell us what happened to you. Your story goes back a number of years.
The story goes back to 1999, when I purchased what was supposed to be a summer home for my family on Lake Champlain, and I specifically tried to buy a townhouse because it was going to be a second home, and we didn't want a lot of yard work, we didn't want a lot of maintenance, so we actually tried to buy a townhouse. And there were not very many townhouses in the area, so we saw three townhouses in three different developments, and we fell in love with one particular development that was on a beautiful beach on Lake Champlain, had a stunning view of the Vermont Mountains, and just fell in love with the place. And the price was right, and we decided we wanted it. But we had concerns because we had a small dog and we had two kids, and we just wanted to know more, and we wanted to know what the rules are, if there are regulations. And we were told on the listing sheet that there was a $50 a month fee, and we wanted to know what the fee was for and how many dogs could we have. And I had one specific concern, is that I wanted to install a satellite dish for to get French TV for my children, because I'm a French teacher and I wanted to teach them French. And my kids at the time were only one, so it was really important for me to get this satellite dish and have French TV. And we asked our realtor, please, could we see the documents? We want to see the guidebook. We want to see the rules and regulations. We want to really know what we're getting into here. I mean, we're not ones to just jump into any situation and just put our money down. We wanted to know what was going on. So the realtor came back a couple of times just telling us he couldn't get any information. Couldn't get any information at all about this association, about what the dues were for. Couldn't get any document whatsoever. Not one piece of paper. So we just were in love with this place, and we thought $50 a month, what's the big deal? And we'll just buy the place, and we'll just, you know, everybody seemed nice. It seemed like a beautiful place. It never occurred to us that anybody would be anything less than nice. And the realtor told us, there's a woman down at the end of the street. If you have any questions, just go to her and just pay the $50 a month, and everything will be fine.
To this woman?
Yes, to the woman at the end. The development is divided up into three buildings, and we purchased the unit smack in the middle of the second building. And this woman continues to live at the end of our building. So he told us, just pay her the money and everything's going to be fine. And so we talked to her directly because, I wasn't going to sign any papers or
it
do anything.
Like
about,
a
had an
story.
Answer about the satellite dish, about the dog, about the kids. Everything's fine. Just pay me the money and everything's going to be fine. So we went ahead and we purchased the place, and it had tenants already living in it, so we couldn't move in until April of 2000. And we moved in, and we were extremely happy, and we immediately started having some problems like roof leaking. The roof, just one day it was raining and water was just pouring down the walls. And I said, this is a bad start. So what did I do? I contacted the woman at the end of the street and I said, you know, the roof is leaking. What should I do? And she said, well, we don't cover that. And that was red flag number one.
So you went to
where the roof isn't covered. I was like, what's going on?
So you
so
went in.
The roof was leaking. Then a couple months later, I wanted to paint and power wash my unit. And again, ask around, and they said, well, that's not covered either. So we started, you know, posing some questions. We weren't really sure what was going on there. And what happened next after the roof was leaking? And, you know, we said, well, you know, what does the fee cover? It's $50. What does it cover? And the long and short of it was it covered garbage removal, annual chimney cleaning and inspection, and lawn mowing. And so, okay, that was the deal. It didn't cover any roofing fund. It didn't cover any exterior maintenance. It covered lawn mowing, garbage, and annual chimney inspection. So a couple of months go by, and it's September, and we're told that the chimney inspector is going to come. So I wait home all day with the kids. And I see the guy going from unit to unit to unit, checking everybody's chimney. And then he leaves. And I was like, well, what was that about?
Nobody so he did not me. He did not stop at your house?
I'm sorry?
He did not come to your house?
Did not come to my house. And waited all day, saw the guy come and go. And the next day, I believe it was, I approached the woman. And I said, you know, what happened? I mean, I was home all day. I paid my dues. Why didn't anybody inspect my chimney? And she said, it's because you have kids, and we didn't think you needed it.
Huh?
So that started to get a little bit weird. Things got kind of strange, and then I left, and I went back to New Jersey for the winter. And when I got back to New Jersey, I got a phone call from one of my neighbors, and she said, you know, that there were tree cutters here today, and they cut down two of the big trees between the houses and the lake. And right away, I was like, how is that even possible? I mean, it's supposed to be an association where the people are supposed to vote. There's 16 houses here. How is it possible that a truck just came and started chopping down trees? I mean, this isn't right. I mean, we bought the place because it had beautiful trees, had beautiful view of the mountains, beautiful beach, and we never voted on anybody chopping down any trees. So we came up a couple weeks after that to celebrate Thanksgiving. And noticed the trees were gone, and we were very upset by that. And something even more upsetting happened is this woman who collects the money came to us and asked us to contribute to a legal fund to sue a neighbor in the first building, which has three units in it. And they were trying to get a fund together to sue her. And we were like, well, what did she do? I mean, we don't sue people. Certainly we don't sue people before Thanksgiving. I mean, if we are going to sue somebody, we don't do it right before the holidays. And on top of that, this neighbor was expecting her first child. I mean, that's a hideous thing to do to somebody, is to sue them when they're expecting a baby right before the holidays. I mean, we were completely stunned. We were just shocked. And they said, well, she replaced the rotten wooden step in front of her house that leads to her front door, and we don't like the way she did it.
So they were going to sue her. Did they ever talk to her? Did they ever knock on the door? And what right did they have to even interfere, since, I mean, there was, you know, we'll jump to the thing, there was no association. They didn't have the authority.
This is what was very unclear to us at this point, because still at this point, nobody had shown us any documents. We had no idea what was going on. All we knew was that we paid the $50, and as long as we paid the $50, they weren't coming after us for anything. And we couldn't figure it out. So I sent them a letter. I said, you know, we don't sue our neighbors. We came up here for peace and quiet. We didn't come up here to get involved in any lawsuits. And we don't agree with this, and, you know, no, we're not gonna sue our neighbors. And from there, things just continued to get worse for us. They started to try to chase us out. I was feeling like they were trying to chase us out. My next door neighbor, right next to me, where I share walls with her, at night when I would be there with my children, who were very young, I mean, younger than two, she would open and close her creaky closet doors repeatedly, open, close, open, close, open, close, to prevent them from going to sleep at night. And then in the morning, of course, there would be mysterious, very loud noises coming from her unit to wake the kids up, and this continued for a while. And so I called her up, and I asked her, you know, to please stop making these repeated noises, and she started screaming at me on the phone, saying, I'm sick of the ruckus, sick of the ruckus.
What ruckus? So,
I guess my kids, you know, having two kids under the age of two, I guess, you know, they would cry maybe.
Oh, or, so it's just normal. I mean, it's just normal. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Or maybe the dog barked or something. I don't know, but she sounded, you know, very upset by it. She said, I'm sick of the ruckus. And so the creaking would not stop. And she, it was obvious that she was trying to prevent the kids from sleeping and obvious that she was trying to make us uncomfortable living there. So I went over to her house to talk to her, and she wouldn't answer the door. And a couple of months after that, I found out that she went to the state police and told them that she was afraid of me and that she didn't know what I would do next. And she had me arrested for stalking her.
Now, the police, was there any evidence that you were stalking? Why is it that the police are jumping on these things, but yet when you go in and say, you know, there's a problem with the HOA, they will not protect the homeowner. They actually arrested you with no evidence that you were stalking them or doing anything, right?
No evidence. At that time, that was in 2001, New York state law was such that you had to just go into a police station and say that you were afraid of somebody, and that was it. And the police would come and arrest the person.
So she was afraid of you, and they arrested you?
Yep. They arrested me for stalking, and things just continued to spiral downward. One of the neighbors approached me and said that Bluff Point, this area where I have this house, is not a good place to raise children. And another neighbor, in fact, the woman who collects the money, approached me and said that if I wanted to move out, she would be happy to show the place for me and try to rent it or sell it. She said she would be happy to show it for me. And then she also said that she and the other people who lived there purposely purchased the houses there, thinking that the houses would be too expensive for people with children to afford. and then
so they didn't want kids. That's discriminatory.
They wanted a group of all their little friends and, you know, to be able to have happy hour on their patios and whatnot. They passed some rules and regulations. They formed a beautification committee to pass some rules and regulations stating that my children, or any children for that matter, could not play on the lawn between the townhouses and the water. They could only play directly in front of their own unit. They could not, you know, veer off in any direction in front of anyone else's unit. They could only play directly in front of their own unit. And in addition to that, we weren't allowed to have any toys outside on our own private patio. And any beach toys or any toys, bike, scooter, anything to that effect, would not be allowed to be on our own private property. It would have to be brought in for the night. We thought that was terrifying, but when we found out later after doing some digging that it was even more terrifying because we found out that land was not even owned by this association. And
who owned it?
Is a third party. There's a golf course nearby. The owner of the golf course owns the land, and as it turns out, he owns all of the land surrounding the townhouses, and that this association doesn't own anything. So then we really started asking some questions, you know, why are we paying you the money to cut the grass? Because it's not your land. And why are we paying you anything? And plus, we're only here in the summer, and why should we be paying you for our garbage removal? Because we're only here in the summer, and we don't need year-long garbage removal. And on top of that, we have garbage removal in New Jersey, and we could just drive our garbage back to New Jersey at the end of the weekend. We can just bring it back with us. Plus, they weren't inspecting our chimney. They weren't cleaning our chimney. So the long and short of it is, why are we paying them the money? So after they cut down these trees, this one person decided to cut down trees. apparently the other homeowners decided, well, that's really nice how the lake looks now with no obstruction from these trees. Let's cut down all the other trees. Then we really became horrified, because at that point we realized that this was not their land. This was not their land. We had been paying these people money. The money was being used for who knows what. They're chopping down people's trees. They're ripping out people's bushes. This is not their land. What are they doing?
So the guy who owns the golf course, he didn't complain that they were chopping down his trees? Because it sounds like it belonged to this guy, right?
He didn't know. He wasn't aware of it. And he was at his golf course, which was, you know, a few blocks away. But he had not been down there, and he had not noticed what they had done. So I called him, and I was leaving him messages, and apparently it was one of these terrible misunderstandings where he doesn't listen to his messages at his office, and he really only responds to cell phone. And I didn't have his cell phone number, so I was leaving these messages that nobody was getting. And then they went ahead, and they cut down every single one of the trees on the entire property except one. They left one stupid tree right in the middle, which just looks really dumb now. And they just destroyed the whole place. The real tragedy, and what's happened to me has been a horrible experience. But the property in question is a historic property, and it was the beach that was part of the former Hotel Champlain back in the 1900s. This grand historic hotel where presidents used to come up on the train and spend the weekend there. It's a historic property. It was an absolutely stunning piece of land. And it had a fireplace from when the hotel was a historic, you know, the hotel. It was the fireplace from the hotel. And they've just let the fireplace fall into ruins. It just crumbled. And they tore out all the vegetation, and they cut down all the trees except one tree. And you can't fix that. No one can fix that now. And to us, it's such a tragedy. And on top of it, they were taking our money and using it for this purpose, which now we deem to be illegal purposes because they're chopping down somebody else's trees. So I wrote them a letter, which unfortunately has come back to haunt me in recent lawsuits. But the letter was entitled Game Over, and it says, due to the fact that our letters have gone unanswered, our requests have been completely ignored, and actions at Bluff Point have been repeatedly taken without our knowledge, approval, or consent, we hereby discontinue any involvement with any, quote-unquote, association of Bluff Point homeowners and have no intention of voluntarily contributing to any fund used for any purpose. And we let them know we weren't going to pay them any more money. And I told them that we'll pay for our own trash removal and our own chimney cleaning, and that was the end of it. And a couple months after I wrote that letter, I received a letter from their attorney, and it's a 3-page letter in which he states that they do in fact have an association which was incorporated by New York State in 1988, but that it's never been recorded anywhere. In the county clerk's office, there's no such document of an agreement between all homeowners. There's no articles of agreement with all the signatures. And basically, after the 3-page letter that we read, we said, well, there you have it. We're right. They might have some sort of an association that they formed, but it's not recorded anywhere. No one has any proof of it, so we're not obliged to pay them any money. So we were happy. We were celebrating. We said, we're not giving them the money. We're going to take our own garbage away. We're done. And we're not going to contribute to any of this fund to sue the neighbors. We're not going to chop down trees. We're not going to trespass. We're not going to destroy other people's properties. And we're just going to still try to enjoy this house. Several months after that, this same exact lawyer who sent me this letter saying that no document, no articles of agreement had ever been recorded anywhere, sued us for not paying dues.
Now, who was he? He was representing this bogus association, I
exactly.
take it.
Exactly. He was representing this association, and we were just completely, completely knocked over by that. How this attorney could send us this letter in January of 2003 stating that that no one can find any articles of agreement in any county clerk's office or anything like that, and yet sue us for not paying dues.
This would be a good point to reiterate here, because the association or the fact that you supposedly agreed is when you actually bought something, and there has to be constructive notice. There has to be a recording someplace where you could reasonably find it. And it's always in the land records, and that serves as constructive notice that there's an association here.
And there's nothing in my land records.
And there's nothing there.
There's nothing there, but what we did find after 10 or 12, no, about 14 years into these lawsuits, our attorney was finally, 14 years later, finally able to obtain the documents of their certificate of incorporation. And we had never seen this before, and this was completely new to us, reading this document. And what completely blew us away, because this was after we had lost the first lawsuit. We had lost a lawsuit back in 2000. The lawsuit initiated in 2003. We lost that lawsuit, and it was because the judge said, implied contract, that we own a townhouse, we have to pay for common facilities, and we have to pay for dues. So that's how we lost that. He just assumed because it's a townhouse, there's going to be some sort of common land, there's going to be maintenance, there's going to be something, and he just ruled that we have to chip in.
How old is the building? Because in the old days, they didn't have associations. I mean, you go back to England and all over Europe, you have, and even in Virginia, you have all these what they call row houses, which are essentially what we now call townhouses. They've got common walls, but there's no association to maintain them. You don't need
exactly.
an association.
This is exactly it. We used to live in Hoboken, New Jersey, block after block after block of attached houses. There was no association.
Yeah.
They didn't have to all replace their roof on the same day. They didn't all have to have their garbage picked up by private garbage haulers on the same day. Everybody just lived their own little life, and nobody interfered with anybody else.
They lived peacefully, right?
Yes, because these houses were built in the mid-80s. And what we finally, after a couple of lawyers and several lawsuits, found out was that this association was incorporated in the state of New York by only 3 of the homeowners out of 16. 3 of the homeowners got together and incorporated themselves as the Bluff Point Townhouse Owners Association Incorporated. They incorporated themselves, and in their letter of purpose, they state that it is to promote and protect the interests of the residents of the Bluff Point townhouse community, particularly the health, safety, and welfare of the community, to obtain and own land, to build and maintain facilities for recreational and community use in general, to enforce all covenants, easements, restrictions, and agreements within this community.
But were there any covenants?
I do have covenants. The covenants don't have anything to do with this association. The covenants were tied to the land from the woman who sold the land for the
okay.
development of the houses. And they simply say things like, you can't hang your laundry outside, you can't have a neon sign, you can't have horses on your property. You know, some pretty basic stuff. It doesn't say a word about paying dues. It does, however, state that there's this beach and that any necessary work that has to be done on the beach has to be prorated among all 16 homeowners. But that's in the title of my property. That's in my deed. That we knew, that any work that had to be done on the actual beach would have to be divided up 16 ways. But what they tried to do, well, they tried to convince us that the beach extended up all the way past the land, all the way past the trees, and right up to the end of my patio, which, of course, we all know, beaches have sand and not grass and trees and everything else. I mean, they tried to convince me that I was responsible to pay their family member to cut the lawn of this land owned by somebody else.
Owned by the guy who owns the golf course.
Exactly. It was his land. But they never told us that. We never knew that they didn't own any land. We assumed that the land went with the townhouses. How could we know any differently? Because they never showed us any paperwork. They never showed us anything about anything. And this was all just a big guessing game for the past 14 years until I started really digging into it and trying to find out exactly what I've gotten myself into here. And when I obtained my property description report from the town of Plattsburgh, come to find out that it has property type 210. What is property type 210 in the state of New York? It's a one-family residence. And so I went on the New York State Division of Taxation and Finance website, found out that if I was indeed involved in some sort of an association, I would not have this property type description on my property description report. It would say 210B. And it would say, yes, I'm in an association, and yes, the land is owned by the association.
Oh, so it's actually on your title.
It's actually what?
It's actually recorded. I mean, that's the way you own it.
Yes. I own a single family year-round resident. And everything else up until this point has just been a scam. And when we read the first meeting minutes from these three neighbors who started this corporation, in their meeting minutes, they conveniently all agreed, and this is the part that really blows my mind, these three neighbors decided that they would charge monthly dues for anyone who lives there. They were going to charge monthly dues, payable to, of course, them. And anyone who paid them the monthly dues would be deemed a member of their association for life. So this is how they get you. They tell you that you have to pay the money. Then you pay the money, and then, unwittingly, you've just made yourself a member of their little freaky group of people for life.
It's a scam.
It's a scam. And I went to the Attorney General, and I went to the Consumer Affairs, the Department of Consumer Affairs. I have complained to the mayor. I've complained to the town supervisor, the tax assessor, the county clerk's office, the local assemblywoman, the local congressman, the Real Estate Finance Bureau in New York City, the Attorney General in Albany, the Attorney General in Plattsburgh, the state police, the FBI, the New York State Division of Taxation and Finance, the IRS, the local newspaper, the two local TV stations, the Institute for Justice, which I just followed up on yesterday, the Committee on Professional Standards, because this lawyer who told us that we weren't obligated to do this turned around then and sued us for not doing it, the Office of the Inspector General, and the Department of Consumer Affairs. And everybody pretty much across the board agrees that it sounds like one person at the Attorney General's office said it sounds like your neighbors are shaking you down for money. I said, thank you. Can you do something about it? He said, no. He can't, because with the way it works with the Attorney General is that many people have to complain about the same problem. If you're one person complaining about a problem, no one can help you, because then the Attorney General would be helping an individual.
So you have 16 units, 16 homes in this subdivision. And three of them are the board members. What about the other 13?
Well, what they've done, what I've kind of figured out what's happened in the past 25 years, is that anybody who wasn't in agreement with what they were trying to do, they chased them out. And what they've done by the process of chasing out all the people who don't agree with them is they've got a whole bunch of retired now people living there who agree with what they're doing. I mean, they all seem happy that all the trees are cut down. They seem happy to use all the collected money to sue people. It's become a real disaster. All they really do is take all this money from people, and then they turn around, they spend all the money suing other people. And no good has come out of it, which is what really blows my mind when I see that this is a not-for-profit corporation. It's a not-for-profit corporation. They're not doing any good for the public. They're, in fact, doing a lot of harm. They're costing taxpayers thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in court fees and the judge and everybody who has to sit there and try to figure this out. They haven't done anything for the public. So I went to the state police, and I said, look, can you at least go tell them that, I don't know, they have to pay taxes or something. If they're going to have this little corporation, they have to at least follow some laws, right?
Right.
So I had done some research, and I had found out through my attorney that they have never filed taxes since 1988 when they incorporated. They have never filed taxes with either the IRS or New York State. So the state police officer was nice enough on my behalf to just go pay them a visit and say, you know, you're breaking some laws here. It might be good if you would pay some taxes or do something to make your little operation look legitimate. I mean, I don't know what he really said, but I'm assuming that was the gist of it, because I called New York State Division of Tax and Finance yesterday, and they admitted to me that since this incorporation in 1988, they've only filed taxes once, and it was last year, right after the state police.
Oh, really?
But now they still have not done anything with the IRS. So I called the IRS, and I said, what about this little not-for-profit, you know, corporation? I happen to have their tax number. They said that they have no record of these people having tax-exempt recognition. They have no record of it. So they're operating as a not-for-profit. They're collecting money from all these unsuspecting people. They're using it to cut down other people's trees, cut down someone else's lawn. They're using it to sue people. They're not doing any public good. They're just destroying things. They're making it impossible for just normal humans to live there. And then I even went further, and I reported their trash removal service to the Better Business Bureau. And I said, what is this? I mean, I don't need this trash removal service, and yet they're supposedly collecting money from me and paying for this service. I mean, this is wrong. I don't need the service. I have a private home. I don't need the service. So when I really pushed this guy at the trash place who's been picking up their trash for a number of years, he admitted to me that he doesn't even charge them per house. He charges them on a per pound basis.
Oh, really?
So they're not even paying for me to have trash removal. They're just using the money that they're taking from me, and they're using it to sue people. They're using it to pay for their own trash removal. They're using it for whatever they want. And we just can't win this. I mean, we're blown away. And I think I know I forgot to mention that after I lost my first lawsuit based on implied contract, I didn't pay the judgment right away because I was mad and I didn't want to pay the judgment. And I didn't think anything could happen to me unless I tried to sell my property. And I didn't even realize this whole thing about how people can seize your house and auction it off. I had no knowledge that that could happen to a person, especially over such a stupid thing. And yet, lo and behold, we received a letter saying that if we didn't pay the judgment within 3 weeks, they were going to seize our house and take it away.
See, usually that's all in the governing documents, because when you buy the house, there's a perpetual lien that's recorded on the property. But there has to be the association that's established before you move in, before you buy that, before the first person buys into it. Because they can't come in afterwards and say, oh, by the way, and
by
they're
the
doing
way.
It. Yeah, oh, by the way, we've got the power to take your house away. No, they don't.
And to have only 3 people out of 16 on board with this, and to have them say that anyone who pays us the money will be deemed a member for life. I mean, there was no way of seeing that coming. There was just no way of seeing that coming, especially since the realtor said, you know, I advise you to just pay the money and be nice to these people and everything will be fine. Well, everything has not been fine. And in fact, after they agreed to let me install my little satellite dish for my children, they then sued me for having the satellite dish.
Well, there is a federal law that says you can have a satellite dish. They cannot prevent you from having it.
No kidding.
No, it's the over-the-air, the OTARD. It's a federal law. Yeah.
Was that passed recently? Because this goes back to 2003.
No, no, no. This goes back a long time ago when satellite dishes first came out, and HOAs wouldn't allow them because a lot of HOAs had, you know, no antennas on there. The satellite dish companies went to the federal government and said, "Hey, we can't do trade here because these HOAs are prohibiting us or preventing us from selling satellite dishes to people in associations." So they had this big hearing, and this goes back a number of years. And the federal government, CAI, the Community Associations Institute, which is the organization, it's a trade organization that represents the HOAs, and the HOA industry, like the attorneys and the managers and the management companies and the CPAs and the lawn people and all of these other people that are members, went and complained, oh, well, you know, people agreed to this and they moved into this place because they didn't want to see a sea of satellite dishes. So the government relented a little bit and said, all right, the association may determine where you put it, but they cannot insist on having it put someplace that is going to prevent you, is going to block your reception.
No kidding.
So that's the law. It's the federal law. They cannot.
Wow. That is fascinating, because they did tell us it has to be on the back of the unit. It has to be quite low down. It can't be where anybody's going to see it. And we respected that. And we, I mean, you can't see the satellite dish. It's the smallest little satellite dish, and it's kind of hidden behind a bush, and you can't see it. And yet they sued us for it anyway. And in that very first lawsuit, in addition to suing us for the satellite dish and non-payment of dues, they sued me for having erected a fence on my property, which was completely absurd. I had put a trellis planter on my patio, and they literally sued us for erecting a fence.
You're kidding.
Nope. And I have the, it's hilarious. I have the instructions from my trellis planter that I put together myself. I kept the picture. I kept the instruction booklet. It's a trellis planter. And they sued me for erecting a fence.
So you actually went to court on that one?
Yep. And it was all in one lawsuit, the non-payment of the dues, the satellite dish, which, of course, was not authorized, but yet it was, the erecting, the fence. And then the real shocker was for the thing in my window.
A thing? You have a thing in your window? Lisa, how could you do that?
And what this is what, when I really, I guess, grew up and became less naive, was years after this had all been litigated and everything, I found out what the thing in the window was. And the thing in the window was a hand-painted plexiglass piece of artwork with purple wisteria flowers. That was the thing in the window.
That was the thing in the window.
And they didn't like it. And nobody ever knocked on my door and said, you know, we hate wisteria, we hate purple, we hate hand-painted items. I mean, nobody said anything. And then they sued us for having it.
So what did the judge say when it was the thing in the window? I mean, did the judge accept that?
I think the judge threw those things out, but he nailed us on, we have to pay dues under implied contract to pay for the common whatever. But what common whatever? There's no common anything. There's not a garbage can. There's not a dumpster. There's not a tennis court. There's not a common driveway. There's not a common road. There's not a common lamppost. The road is paid for by the town. The streetlights are paid for by the town. They don't have any insurance policy, so clearly there's nothing that they're insuring, so there's no common anything. And so we don't understand what we're paying for, but basically we do understand what we're paying for. We're paying for them to sue us because they took all the money then that we paid them to save our house from being auctioned off, and they took all that money, and they turned around and they sued us again. But before they sued us the second time, I got a new lawyer. And I said, please, I'm begging, help me get to the bottom of this. I need to understand what is happening to me here, because bewildering, to say the least. So he went many times to their attorney and said, please, provide us the documents. What are you suing them for? Why do they have to pay? They don't need garbage pickup. They don't need you to inspect their chimney. Why do they have to pay you money? And after about a year of going back and forth of my lawyer asking them for information, they just sued us again and said, now you're 4 years behind again on dues, and now we're suing you again.
One of the things that I've always been told is ask them to cite their authority. Has anybody said, all right, association or whoever or whatever you are, please cite your authority? You have to provide some kind of authority for what you're doing.
Well, they keep hiding behind this very official-sounding corporate name of their Bluff Point Townhouse Owners Association Incorporated in New York State. Just 2 days ago, I sent an email to the quote-unquote president after what I found out from New York State, because he had emailed me that they were incorporated in 1988 and they're in compliance with all of the laws to the best of their knowledge. So I wrote back to him yesterday in a quite sarcastic email letter that I sent to everyone who lives there, and it says, in compliance with the laws, something to the effect of you've paid taxes once in the past 26 years and you call that compliance? I mean, it's absolute insanity. In addition to that, the IRS has no record of you being a not-for-profit. They never said you could be a not-for-profit. And then I went on to say, what if you didn't try to comply? Would you have paid your taxes once every 50 years? I mean, this is what you call compliance? I mean, but he seems to believe that they, because they're a not-for-profit incorporated by New York State, that they can just do whatever they want and that they don't have to answer to anybody.
That's a whole different issue. I mean, the authority comes from an agreement. The agreement is the covenants. And the covenants should state categorically that there is an association, that by buying that house, you are a member. That has to be recorded someplace because it has to provide constructive notice. I'm not an attorney, but I've talked to a lot of them, and over the years, they've drummed that into me. That is the constructive notice. Even if you're not given that stuff at settlement, you have to do your due diligence. You have a responsibility to check it out for yourself. Usually, right. That's what the title company does. They will do a title search and yes. Find this out. So you get that information. But absent that, I don't care how many corporations they incorporate, they can't do anything to your property.
Why is the judge siding with them?
That's what I'm wondering, because there are a lot of judges that unfortunately leave a whole lot to be desired when it comes to giving opinions. I don't know. I mean, there's been corruption in the courts, and we've seen that a number of times. But again, I think the attorneys have got to come up with the correct arguments and the right questions. You know, cite your authority. Where is your authority? Where do you get that authority from?
Exactly.
You've never agreed to it. You never signed anything. There's no constructive notice. It's never been recorded anywhere. There's nothing there. If there is, please show it.
Well, in addition to that, the Attorney General Real Estate Finance Bureau in New York City has been unable to find anything. And they said that they can't provide me with any documents because apparently there was no, what do you call that when you start a homeowners association, you have to file that whole offering plan. They have no record of an offering plan. So it seems obvious that the builder built these houses and he didn't intend for them there to be any kind of ruling body telling us all what color to paint our windows, because now they tell me that I have to paint my windows blue.
Ask them to cite their authority. I mean, you don't have to get into a whole lot of discussion with them. Please ask them, just cite your authority.
Exactly.
Or have your attorney send them an email or a letter and say, please cite your authority to do this. You know, just by accepting or arguing with them, just, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. Just have them cite their authority.
Well, they seem to get the majority of their authority from the last court ruling. Because what I noticed was difference between the two lawsuits. The first lawsuit, they were suing me as individuals, which should have right there been like a red flag to my first attorney. Like, why are they suing me using their individual names and not just the name of their quote-unquote association? In the second lawsuit, they've really become empowered by winning the first lawsuit. Now, in the second lawsuit, they are using the name of their association to sue me. But what's interesting is that, you know, based on IRS rules, you can't spend all the money that you're taking in for quote-unquote dues just to sue people. You do have to provide some maintenance, and you have to do something.
Do they have a budget? Ask them for a budget.
They do have a budget, and the budget is just all kinds of legal fees, $8,000 in legal fees, $11,000 in legal fees. Lawn care, $4,600 lawn care to pay for the other guy's lawn. It's not their lawn.
Does the other guy know that they're tinkering around with his lawn, or is that fine with him?
No, he does know it, and he told them to no longer trespass on his property, and they wouldn't listen. And so what he did was he himself erected a fence, which was no trellis planter. He erected a fence which ran the entire length of the property between all of the houses and the lawn. And he told them, and he put no trespassing signs, and he said, stay off my property. And so what they did then was they did a whole other legal fund contribution thing, and they started suing him. And so he got mad, and now basically no one can use the land. They're still suing him. They're still suing me. They're just suing everybody and their mother, and they just keep suing people. And yet nobody can live there peacefully. Nobody can enjoy the property. Nobody can restore the historic chimney fireplace. Nobody can use the beach because now the whole place has been taken over by geese because they chopped down all the trees and cut out all the bushes, so nobody can even use the property now. So here we have one of the most stunning, beautiful beaches in New York, and no one can use it.
So has anybody decided to sue them for ruining your property values?
Can't do that.
Why not?
Because they have sued so many people in Clinton County that you can't find a lawyer anywhere who will touch it. All conflict of interest, can't help you, don't want to get involved. This has been going on since the 80s, and no one will touch it with a 10-foot pole. No one will go near it. I've called people in Albany. I've called people in very far away places. Please, I'm begging, help me. I mean, forget about me. I want to restore this beach. I want to restore the beach. I want to restore that historic fireplace. I want this to look like it did when it was the historic Hotel Champlain. I want future generations to be able to enjoy this property. And I can't get anywhere on any of it. I can't get anyone to do anything about it.
Your attorney, the one you've got now, can't make that part of the lawsuit?
He is busy now defending the fact that they sued us, and he's still appealing that and trying to defend us. And then in terms of turning around then and starting a lawsuit against them, I mean, we have a whole list of things we can sue for destroying the property and misappropriation of funds and not being upfront and honest with us about any of this stuff and trespassing. We have a whole list of things we could sue for, but I just can't find, I guess we're so busy just dealing with them suing us, we haven't been able to find anyone to help us sue them. Which is where I'm hoping the Institute for Justice will step in and maybe help me turn this around.
You need to frame that in the fact that it's the government that's enabling this because they are a libertarian organization. They're really very, very wonderful. I mean, I have nothing but the utmost respect for the Institute for Justice, but they have this one quirk. They think that it's only the government that is going to abuse you. They don't know that because of enabling legislation, because of what the government has done, and the government's inaction when they are called upon to do their job is leaving homeowners in associations or even in sort of bogus associations.
Exactly.
Left hanging there.
Yeah.
And so it all depends on how you're going to frame it. Whether they'll take that, I don't know. But I hope they do. I really hope they do. It's about time.
It's been a really long road and a sad story because when you go in my house and you still see my kids' toys from when they were one because we haven't been able to spend any time at this house. We haven't been able to even go there and put the kids' toys away. I mean, we are afraid to go there. The people are just horrible to us. We've been screamed at. We've been yelled at. And it's so creepy. It's just so creepy. I go there and I have trouble with my car, which is mysterious. My husband bought a car before all of this started happening from one of the neighbors, and he had mysterious brake failure and crashed the car in the Lincoln Tunnel.
You're kidding.
I mean, there's been some really weird stuff. I mean, why would you now go there on vacation with your family? I mean, we're afraid they're going to poison our dog. We're afraid. I mean, my son, once he was out on the scooter just going up and down the public road, and one of the neighbors came out and said, "Hey, little boy." I mean, I was right there. I was hiding behind a bush. I knew the neighbor was going to come out and say something to my son. So I was like, "Watch this." Less than 5 minutes later, "Hey, little boy." Yeah, they don't let the kids play outside. No one can use the beach. I mean, the whole thing is just, I guess the word is travesty of justice. It's been a disaster. We haven't done anything wrong, and yet they vote amongst themselves to allow everyone to put in propane tanks. Now everyone has a propane tank. One of the propane tanks is like right outside our front door, this huge, ugly, rusted propane tank right outside my front door. But they voted on it and they approved it. But of course, I was sued for my wisteria flowers. But now everyone has an air conditioning unit.
Don't forget your fence.
Yeah, exactly. I was sued for my erected fence / trellis planter. And they have all installed air conditioning units now. They have all put in propane tanks. They have torn out bushes. It does say in the covenants to my property that you can't go tear out the bushes and just replant whatever you want. So my neighbor right next to me, he ripped out his bush to make his patio bigger. So now his patio got 4 feet bigger because he's now encroaching upon my patio because he ripped out his bushes. But they voted on that. That's okay. And they've all made different, and what's hilarious about the whole thing, which is not hilarious, it's tragic, is that I'm the only person there who has respected the actual real covenants that do go with my property. I've never ripped out any bushes. I've never made any structural changes. I never put in an air conditioning system. I never put in a propane tank. I still have my original lilac tree, lilac bush, whatever, and I've never made any changes to my property. And yet, I'm the victim who keeps getting sued, while they just go have a free-for-all putting up propane tanks wherever they want. A propane tank right outside my front door, a big, ugly propane tank, you know, and there's just no respect. I mean, we own our driveways, and yet my next-door neighbor for 10 years parked in my spot. For 10 years, parked in my spot. To the point where I finally had to just say, and this is my spot, I'll have your car towed away if you don't move your car. But he had three cars, and we were allowed to have one. Because there's enough space for two cars in front of each unit. So he was allowed to have three, and we were allowed to have one. And nobody did anything.
So you have a house that you're afraid of going to. You still own it. And why do you keep it?
Because I contacted the lady who sold me the house. I tracked her down. It was very hard to do. She's living in Germany. And I emailed her, and I said, what is going on here? And big surprise, she moved out because she was harassed for money and told that she had to abide to a bunch of rules and regulations, and she didn't agree with that. And she thought it would be better to sell and to move on, which she did, and sold the problem to me. And this has cost us, I don't even want to know how much this has cost us, but this is lawsuit, new appeal, the money we had to pay them to save our house from being seized, the taxes, everything. And I don't feel right selling this problem to somebody else. I want it resolved. I want it resolved. And I don't feel right renting it because I feel afraid being there. I mean, I wouldn't want to now rent it to somebody else and have them being yelled at and harassed and everything else and told they can't hang a picture in the window. That wouldn't be right. And in fact, I neglected this part of the story, but way back in the beginning, my husband thought it would be a good idea to buy a second unit way back in the beginning and rent it out as an investment. And I said, okay, it's not a bad idea. The price was right. So we bought a second unit. Again, nobody gave us any papers about any kind of an association. Nobody told us that anything about anything at the closing. I was very careful to watch for that time. And we rented the place out, and the people had a fire in the fireplace and didn't know where they were supposed to put their ashes, and put the ashes across the street, and the ashes blew back and burned the whole place down. So that was a catastrophic loss. The two units, it was in the building of five units. Ours was, of course, smack in the middle. Catastrophic loss, and the two units on either side were completely pretty much useless for like a year or two before they were fixed up. Then the other two units on the end had smoke damage. But the whole point was, first of all, people could have been killed. It was a horrible thing. Took years to resolve it. But if there was really a homeowners association there, why was there no place to put the ashes? Why was there no protocol of what to do when you have a fire and where do you put the ashes? Because there is no homeowners association, and nobody knew what to do with the ashes, and that's just how it is.
So we're out of time, Lisa, but what happened to that house? Do you still have it, or did you sell it?
Well, in one funny little twist, which shows my sense of humor and maybe my Greek personality, is I sold that unit to the son of the landowner. which did not make me any new friends down there. It just didn't. But now his son is living in there, and he's watching out for the place. And what's amazing is that he never paid them the money. He's been living there now since about 2005. He's been living there for almost 10 years. He's never paid the money, and they've never sued him.
They've never done anything. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for telling us your story, because this is pretty horrible, and I hope it's a wake-up call to some of the listeners that may not have dealt with all of this before, but good luck, and please keep in touch.
Thank you so much.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.